What up, what up?
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Here we go, Rod. Oh yeah, talking sports with the 12th man. The time is officially now. You are talking sports with the 12th man. We're on a special Wednesday night. I apologize for all of our listeners that are used to listening to us on Tuesday. We just made a small switch, but that's okay. You can still reach us. I'm your boy, Andre, joined by my co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. And of course, today is Wednesday, September the 18th, and we have a lot of football to talk about, but of course, I would be remiss if I did not check in with my co-host, Rob Ford. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, Doc. Ready to get this show on the road.
I love it. You're not trading us, man. You're not trading us. You're staying right where we are. And speaking of trades, we got a lot of things to talk about. You know, kind of an interesting move. And that's kind of how we do things because the nature of the business. I'm actually happy we can talk about this tonight, Rob. So we're pretty excited about the trade that happened to the Browns and the Colts. We'll talk about that. This is going to be pretty much a pretty full night for football. We may get a chance to slip some basketball in there near the end of the OT portion. But once again, I'd like to throw out some numbers for those who want to call us, text us, all that fun stuff. If you want to reach out to us, you can always call the show, the actual line to call the show. It's 424-243-9519. That's our special call-in number. Also, you can follow us on Twitter, on Facebook. On Twitter, it's at the number 12, THMAN Sports. We're also on Facebook if you go to facebook.com/12thmansports. Or if you can put Talking Sports with 12th Man, that is how you will be able to find us. But without further ado, Rob, let's jump into this, sir. Man, a big, big trade just happened today between the Browns and the Colts. The Browns actually send their last year running back pick, they picked Trent Richardson to the Colts for the Colts first-round pick. And just kind of looking kind of outside, Rob, I mean, what do you think this means? And do you think the Browns initiated this trade? I want to get your thoughts about this. I think this is a huge move early in the season. I think it actually looks better for the Colts right now.
Well, I think it's a very surprising trade to happen after 2 weeks in the season. I think basically what this trade is saying for Cleveland is that they already given up on the season, and they already feel like they don't have a chance of being a playoff team. So I think if you're Cleveland, you're giving up your first-round pick from a couple of years ago, and you're just stocking up draft picks for next year. And I think with Cleveland, they want to make sure they get a franchise quarterback in the draft next year. And right now they're going to have at least two number one picks, and they should be able to get franchise quarterback in the draft next year, and they want to make sure they come out of the draft and with a franchise QB. And they obviously, I think, realize that Brandon Weeden is not going to be the answer for the long term. And I think this new regime in Cleveland is already going in, making sure that they get a franchise QB and already going ahead with the rebuilding process. And I think if you're the Colts, now you're looking at, for at least, you know, the next few years, Andrew Luck has got a legitimate running back in the backfield with him and Trent Richardson. And I think so. I think if you're the coach, you're going all in with an opportunity to, you know, to really boost your offense. Obviously, giving up a first-round pick, you know, is a pretty steep price. But I think if you're the coach, I think the only way this trade it works for you is if you actually make the playoffs this year. So then you're giving up a late first-round pick instead of an early first-round pick. Now, if somehow the Colts don't make the playoffs this year, I think this is a horrible trade for them as well.
Wow, very interesting. And that's, I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat because whenever you're when I first heard about this, I was like, wow. I mean, there's two trains of thought like you talked about. I mean, have the Browns already given up on the season? And then as you mentioned, it's kind of a situation where they have to give you this picture right, Rob, because I think if you are where we were sitting at, you know, a couple of times the Falcons made that big trade to actually acquire Julio Jones, we were complaining about it, but now we're actually happy about it. And it doesn't seem like the Cleveland Browns have actually capitalized on those picks, so hopefully they've gotten that right. Secondly, as you mentioned, it seems like, you know, Brandon Whedon does not look to be the answer. Now, you know, maybe he doesn't fit this current regime. I don't know, but that's kind of looking like the case. And then, as you said, regarding the Colts position, it's a situation where, you know, if they don't make the playoffs, yeah, this is a horrible trade. But I definitely think adding a Trent Richardson is going to do tremendous things for this team. You know, obviously it's going to take some time to get acclimated to the system that the Colts have, but once you get to acclimated, it's almost like, you know, the rich keep getting richer. But I guess if you're the Browns, I guess you're kind of scouting quarterbacks heavily. And also, as you talked about, maybe you're adding some more weapons to that particular team, because right now their defense is really, really young. But it looks like, you know, maybe they're going to add another piece, maybe a wide receiver. Maybe they'll add another running back. Like you said, I'm just kind of curious as far as the timing of the trade, like you talked about, and kind of the situation. You know, I'm curious who made the first move in that aspect.
Yeah, I definitely would be curious. I don't know if we'll ever find out who was the initiator of this trade. But I think if you're looking at it from the coach standpoint, you know, you lose Vic Ballard for the season, and now you have Ahmad Bradshaw as your number one guy. And I think, you know, my guess is, I'm going to guess that Cleveland was the initiator that looked at, you know, Indianapolis as a team needing help with the running back position. And I think they were looking to unload Trent Richardson, you know, realizing that, you know, if they're going to, you know, try to help themselves to get this franchise quarterback, they're going to have to give up a piece in order to get an additional first-round pick in this upcoming draft to try to see if they can get an opportunity to get a Teddy Bridgewater or Mr. Boyd from Clemson.
Gotcha. We'll talk about some quarterbacks too, Robbie. Don't forget Mark Sanchez and Tim Tebow are always available too, just to let you know that, sir. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah, there's a reason why those guys are available.
We are moving right along, and that's just my little joke. Obviously, we have a lot of things to talk about, and I guess as we kind of we're kind of switch gears, we're still in the NFL, but let's talk about a big hit for my Atlanta Falcons. We lost a lot of players in this past game versus the Rams. We didn't realize how physical the game was going to be. Obviously, we lose Croy Bearman for the season. We lose Brady Ewing, fullback. We ended up losing Sean Weatherspoon for a couple weeks, as well as Steven Jackson. So, you know, obviously, if I can comment on this, it seems like that the case is, you know, that old cliche, the next man has to step up, and you kind of figure out what's going on. And I think from this standpoint, this is kind of where you get to test your scouting department. You want to test the depth. I mean, there's a reason why you got a depth chart, the number ones, the number twos, and the number twos get an opportunity to kind of show their wares and step their game up. So this is where you definitely have to test and make sure if your scouting department, if your GM did a good job as far as evaluating talent, because a lot of teams in the NFL, they are top-heavy talent-wise in a situation where, you know, something happens and that first-line player gets hurt, then it's going to be very challenging. And that may have something to do with the salary cap era too, but initially, that's why you want to definitely plug those holes and why you spend all that time with the undrafted free agents and you kind of building your development player. So this is something that I think it's kind of a wait and see here. We got one side where the sky is falling, and you got the other side where let's see the young players and we can kind of hold serve and see what's going on and kind of test to make sure that we've done a good job as far as building our drafts or building our players.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just comment on it. I mean, obviously, you know, I know you're a Falcon fan, so you may have a little bit more insight on some of the depth of the roster than I would have. But I'm gonna go ahead and say that the defense is going to take a bigger hit than the offense, in my opinion. I think it will be a little bit harder to replace Sean Weatherspoon, who I probably think is one of the top one or two defenders on the Falcons roster. And so I think the defense is going to take a bigger hit than the offense. I think offensively they'll be okay without Steven Jackson for a few weeks. And the reason why I say that, I think the running back position, I think, and not just, I mean, there's still some elite running backs in the NFL, but I think it's easier to replace a running back position. You know, it's easier to replace a running back than it probably is any other position offensively. And I think if you look at the Falcons' offense last year, they were still able to be a pretty potent offense with a Michael Turner who, you know, didn't have a great year last year as well. So I'm going to say offensively they will probably recover we'll be able to handle the loss of Jackson more than the defense is going to be able to handle the loss of Weatherspoon, just my opinion.
I appreciate that, sir. I mean, like I said, it's definitely an interesting opinion. I know from our side, you know, we've played with that Weatherspoon a little bit for the preseason, so it's not like it's the worst thing that's ever happened to us. So, I mean, he's an impactful player. Is he, you know, the Ray Lewis type? That type of, I mean, not yet, but definitely solid, definitely a team leader. But at the end of the day, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, maybe it's me just kind of hoping that, you know, we got some young guys that are going to step in and do what they have to do, but we will see how it plays out. So that is kind of Andre's take and Robert's take on that as well. Let's talk real quick about another young running back, and Giovanni Bernard. He had a pretty awesome performance on Monday night, and I should know because I had it for my fantasy team. So he scored 2 touchdowns. It seemed like Andy Dalton was struggling, and Giovanni kind of was able to do some things. Rob, what did you think about his performance? I mean, I think it's a very, very promising performance from Giovanni.
Well, I think he adds another dimension to the Bengals' offense. He adds a lot more versatility, change of pace kind of back. I thought he was the best running back in the draft this past offseason, and you know, I still believe that. He's a strong back. He's got great speed, great change of direction, and he adds a lot of versatility. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, and he's solid running the ball even between the tackles. And I think he just adds another element than what the law firm brings you with Cincinnati Bengals. So I think before season's end, he will be the main back for the Bengals. I mean, right now, obviously, I think the law firm is still considered to be the starting back for the Bengals. But I think by season's end, you got to look at Giovanni Bernard as being that guy. I think he just adds a different dimension, adding an element of explosion to the Bengals' offense. And when you throw him in a mix with A.J. Green, I think you're adding a lot of explosion to that offense.
I agree. It's almost similar to, and I'm going to say almost, not quite there. It's very similar to kind of the Eagles whenever they got, you know, McCoy and they got DeSean Jackson. And I'm not saying that Giovanni is, you know, McCoy, just yet, Shady McCoy, but I'm saying that the explosiveness, as you mentioned, a great change of pace, and he'll get better as he continues to play, Rob, as you talk about too. So I think, as mentioned before, very promising to see his performance, and hopefully he'll kind of get better and progress as the season moves along. Man, having some good stuff. Having some good stuff and some good food for thought here. I'm going to throw out the numbers one more time as we are talking sports. Once again, if you want to call into the show, and are we making sense? Do you actually appreciate everything we're talking about? The number to call in, it's 424-243-9519. Rob, I actually paused on purpose because I definitely wanted just to let this sink in as far as Tim Tebow, man. I mean, you know, honestly, do you think he should give up his NFL dream? I mean, is it over? Is it kind of like, you know, turn off the lights? I mean, what do you think about Mr. Tebow?
Turn out the lights. but on a serious note here, obviously, I don't think the guy should give up on his NFL dream as being a quarterback just yet. But I will say this: I think he, should look at some opportunities in the Canadian Football League and also the Arena Football League. I know he's being a little stubborn by not wanting to go to, you know, play in either one of those leagues. But I think what he can do is go play in one of those leagues and enhance his quarterback skills and with the opportunity to possibly come back to the NFL. I think right now, I think he needs to go to somewhere else where he can enhance his skills with the opportunity to possibly come back to the NFL later. I think if he does not do that, if he doesn't look at one of those opportunities, I would say his NFL career is over.
Wow. You know, I definitely agree, too, that you want to work as hard as you can and you want to continue to get better. And sometimes it's okay to take not the direct route. I mean, I'm not saying that, he's going to end up like these players, but if he goes the route of a Kurt Warner, you know, kind of builds up the skills, or heck, even Warren Moon spent a lot of time in the CFL before he finally came back. So, I mean, Doug Flutie, a lot of quarterbacks that kind of just continue, you know, play to get better. I think that's kind of like your goal, and that's okay. I mean, no one's going to look down on you if you do that. It's just like you talked about, a way to enhance your skills and try to get better and come back and try to prove everyone, especially to try to prove to Robert Ford that he can make it in the NFL as a quarterback. So there you go.
Absolutely. Prove me wrong.
I love it. Oh, man, let's talk about some more issues here. And I'm sure we're going to talk about this team as far as some 0-2 teams here. But the Bucks, Deshaun Golston, former 49er, gets suspended for one game. I mean, do you agree with this, Rob, as far as the hit that he put, in the game last week? What do you think about that? I'm sure you have some thoughts about this because I'm sure it was against your boys. And tell me your thoughts about this, sir.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, I don't know if you heard the news, but the NFL has, Deshaun Golston appealed the suspension and actually won the appeal. And so the NFL removed his one-game suspension, and they fined him $100,000. It turns out, Deshaun Golston would not be suspended for one game. He will be able to play this weekend against the Patriots. He won his appeal, but the NFL still levied him with a heavy fine of $100,000. Here's my take on this whole situation here. I did not believe he should be suspended. I think, you know, the way Darren Sproles was bending down and the way he was coming at him, I think it's so hard, it's so hard when you're a defensive player. Yes, he could have possibly leaned in with his shoulder a little bit more than his helmet, and I think defensive players have to try to start doing that, keeping their head up and lean with their shoulders more. But I think to a certain degree it's kind of hard. So I'm going to say he did not deserve to be suspension. But I do would like to see a little bit more consistency from the NFL. First of all, you suspend coaches last year for a so-called bounty program, but it did not exist. And then you come back and remove suspensions from guys who, leaning with their helmet. And my case is like, I don't believe it should be suspended, but I do want to see some consistency from the NFL when it comes to safety.
That was a nice veiled shot in there, Rob. I'm going to let you finish, man. It definitely is what it is. What was I going to say about this? You definitely have to be consistent. I guess deep down, a lot of the players, no matter how you want to spin it, I think they do want to, make it a safer league. And there's only so many ways you can affect, players, whether you're penalizing them. But one way to definitely hurt them is through the wallet. So, maybe that'll prevent them from creating these hits. I mean, Dominic Sue had the same exact opportunity. He got, his little fine as well as $100,000. So, like you said, let's work on the consistency. Make sure that everyone understands this is what's going on. And I think that it's going to help out as far as the longevity of the players' careers and whatnot. But, yeah, let's be consistent with it. Definitely, definitely, for sure. We are moving right along. And let's talk about a pretty big game on Thursday, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. This is a pretty big matchup, Rob. Obviously, if you don't know what's going down, Andy Reid used to coach the Eagles past, 14 years, if I'm not mistaken, something crazy like that. good amount of time that he was head in chief. And now he's bringing the Chiefs. Now, if you would have told me that the Chiefs are actually 2-0, and the Chiefs aren't as bad as their record as they were last year. I mean, so I think definitely has to do something with the Andy Reid's coaching. I definitely want to get your feedback, Rob, because I want to say something about the Eagles and I think how they're coming fast out the gate, too. So let's talk about your thoughts about this particular matchup.
Well, I'm going to say the Eagles are going to win this game at home. I actually think the Eagles are going to lose this game at home. I think the Chiefs are going to go on the road and win this ball game. And, I said this, weeks going into the season, that I thought the Chiefs could make the playoffs this year as a wild card. I think this is a team that has a lot of talent on their roster on both sides of the football. And I actually like them to actually go on the road and get this victory. And so I like the Chiefs. I think Andy Reid is getting some solid quarterback play from Alex Smith. Not a great QB, but he's getting some great, solid quarterbacking, not turning over the football. He got a solid running game, great offensive line, receivers, and defensively there's a lot of weapons on this team. And I think, even though it's a short week, I think his team's going to be fired up to win this game for him on the road against Philadelphia, and I think they're going to be ready for that fast break offense. And I think, I think Kansas, what you saw with the Chargers against the Eagles last week is that they try to play the ball control offense, keep the Eagles offense off the field, and I think you're going to see the same thing with Kansas City this weekend. They're going to try to play ball control as much as possible and keep this Eagles offense off the field.
I agree. I think that the Chiefs are going to come in and win as well, but I have a different take, and I'm kind of, looking at this particular offense. I know we're really too into this, and, I think you got to give the Eagles credit for trying something new. This is my take. No matter how much you talk about having all these extra plays and, having this up fast break offense, all that jazz, I do think that there's one problem with it, Rob. I think the problem is defensively, and I think you start to wear down your defense. You're scoring within that quickness, or you're getting everyone running, and you get your offense off the field, whatever. Then the defense, I think, suffers in this instance. I think that later on, if you saw it versus Washington, even though they were able to pull it out, certain times I just think that Washington kind of made, a little run near the end just because that defense gets worn down. So that's the problem that I think that you're going to have unless you get those players in there just as fast defensively as you can offensively. But at this time, I just think that's the one flaw right now. So, like I said, there has to be some adjustments. I think maybe there's a time and a place to kind of increase that. We talked about it as well. If you have a situation where it's rainy or bad conditions, can you have that same type of consistency? So, I don't know. But I agree with you wholeheartedly about Andy Reid. Alex Smith, solid, not spectacular. But he's just enough to kind of get by. So I kind of feel sorry for Alex Smith. I don't think he is the long-term answer for the Chiefs. But, Andy Reid will definitely get that rectified. And the Chiefs are definitely, like you talked about, I think they're going to be right in the hunt for the wild card. They've got all the correct elements to make that happen for sure.
Absolutely.
I always wait for Rob to do the confirmation. Let's talk about some teams that are 0-2. In particular, let's talk about the Steelers. And you talk about a team that, 0-2, and in spite of how bad that the Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton played, they still were unable to pull it out. Can they recover? And, they say statistically, if you start 0-2, it's very tough to make the playoffs. So do you think they have a shot? I think just the way that the team is made up right now, it's just kind of a mess because who's their running back? They have no more deep threats, wide receiver-wide, losing like Mike Wallace. Big Ben can only do so much. And that defense is getting older. So I think it's going to be very, very tough for them. What do you think?
Well, I tell you, you took the words exactly out of my mouth. That's everything that I was going to say. I think you're lacking a true offensive weapon on this roster right now from a skill position standpoint. And I think you're looking at an aging ball club all the way around. There's nobody on offense that scares you from the wide receiver position, from the tight end position, from the running back position. There's nobody that scares you on that ball club. And defensively, as you mentioned, they're an aging ball club. This team is definitely not going to the playoffs. And, and I think the Cincinnati Bengals, in my opinion, is the only team in this division that looks like a playoff team. I think they win the division. I don't even see the Baltimore Ravens making the playoffs out of this division, out of that AFC North. And I just don't think that the Steelers have anything on this roster right now. They have to rebuild a little bit and get a little bit younger.
So let me repeat that. So you said that the Baltimore Ravens would not make it to the playoffs? Is that what you just said?
They will not.
They will not. Well, I just wanted to clarify that. I just thought that was very interesting. Wow. All right. You heard it here. Today is Wednesday the 18th. Rob is already saying that the defending Super Bowl champions will not make it to the playoffs. Man, very interesting. I just want to give a quick shout-out before we get ready to wrap up because, man, we are having such a great time. And that we're getting kind of near the end of the show, but I wanted to give a big shout-out to my cousin Mario. He's actually listening, Rob, in Tokyo in Japan, so hopefully that's awesome for him to be checking in, actually helping us out, spreading the love as far as with the trade, too. So I was, like, excited that he was all in.
Spread the word,
thanks,
Mario,
in
Tokyo.
Yeah, we love it, man, a lot of things. We've got about 3 minutes left, 3.5 minutes here. Let's talk about some disappointing teams here that are 0-2 besides the Pittsburgh Steelers, and is there anyone that you wanted to highlight? Because, I mean, before I go with the Jaguars, I wanted to kind of give you some opportunities to kind of say what you had to say about that.
Well, I think, to me, the most disappointing 0-2 team is the New York Giants. I think this is a team that I thought, would probably be better than that. Now, albeit, I think the Giants have had a tough schedule, starting off with the Cowboys on the road and then at home against the Broncos, who arguably is might be the best team in football right now. And so, I mean, they have had a tough schedule, but I think the Giants have, looked pretty horrible in both of these games. And this is a team I thought would be a lot more competitive. So I would say out of all the teams that started off the season 0-2 so far in the NFL, I think the Giants are the most surprising and the most disappointing out of all of these teams. The Steelers, I didn't expect them to do anything this year, so it's not really surprising. But I think the Giants are the one that's probably the most disappointing so far. And that's the team that won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, too.
Yep. I want to slip something in real quick, too. The best teams look like right now, if you're kind of taking stock, would probably be like Seattle and the Broncos, man. So that's kind of looking like those are the top two teams right now after their performance versus the 49ers. But I digress. I'm going to say this real quick, and we got about 2 minutes here. My disappointing team right now is probably the Washington Redskins, only because of the fact that I think if you're a Redskins fan, you had so much promise or so much expectations for RG3. And just right now, he's just, it's just not coming together for them. And there's been a lot of turnovers from them early in the first game. And I was telling this to my barber. I was actually saying that RG3 does not look like he's 100% healed. We'll talk about that in the OT portion. We've got about 96, Rob. I'll let you kind of finish up and get ready to set up the OT portion of the show.
Yeah, and just real quick on the Redskins, if you can go back several shows, and one of the things that I mentioned, I kind of thought the Redskins would start the season off slow just because I just didn't think RG3 would be healthy starting the season off. And, that's not really a surprise to me that they're starting off this slow. And I just didn't think he would be healthy starting the season. But real quick, we just want to, prep our listeners for next week. We'll be back on our normal night next Tuesday night. It'll be 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern. So make sure we're going to be recapping this upcoming weekend's college and NFL games. You're previewing the following week NFL and college football. For those of you all, we're getting ready to go into our OT portion. You won't be able to listen to that live, but you can listen to it on tomorrow if you're on your lunch breaks, driving, anything like that. We got a lot of college football we're going to cover in OT portion and a little bit more NFL. So you don't want to miss that on tomorrow. You can tune in to the OT portion. Apologize, we can't bring it to you live. So once again, and we look forward to having you all next week. Remember to like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. Good night, people.
Good night, people. Thank you, Rob, for always doing a great job of setting it up for next week. And we are officially jumping into the OT portion of the show. And just to kind of finish my thought, and I think I give you a lot of props because you actually did say that you thought that the Redskins were going to jump out of the gate slow. My thing was that I think I'm disappointed because I think the fact that, like I said earlier, talking about Barber, I think RG3, he doesn't seem like he's really confident in that knee. But I think if he did, and you could tell because he's not the same player as far as not running certain types of plays, but I just think that I'm just so impressed with him as a person and his work ethic that if he did have to make a change and become a strictly a pocket passer, I think he can make the move and be very successful. Now, it may take some time because he's used to, you know, being more of that read option style quarterback. But like you said, I think if you're looking at the Redskins as a whole, you know, it just kind of shows you how much they lean upon RG3, and I didn't expect that. I thought they would be a little bit better defensively right now, but it seems like they're trying to kind of find themselves right now. I know it's early in the season, but that's just my particular thoughts on the scenario too, no doubt. So just wanted to share that real quick. A lot of stuff to talk about. Let's talk about Eli Manning, and we'll talk about the top five teams, and we'll jump right into some college football. I can't wait to hear your thoughts about Bo Pelini, all that fun stuff. So what do you think about Eli, Rob? Do you think he's pressing a little bit too much? Do you think, you know, the pressure right now as far as maybe it happened to step up and you know, David Wilson hasn't been able to contribute just yet. What do you think about Eli?
I definitely think he's pressing. I think he's trying to do too much. But, you know, when you look at this past weekend against the Broncos, they got behind, and you're really trying to make it up. Their running game is not really, you know, helping them at all. I think defensively it's not really helping them at all either. And I think another quarterback who I think is pressing so far is Cam Newton as well.
Yeah.
I think he and Eli both are really struggling to really get into a groove. And really trying to, really trying to help their ball clubs, but I think these teams need to find a little bit more balance to help their QB out. I think they're both pressing, but I also think they can get some more help from the rest of their roster as well.
Gotcha. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Great points on that aspect. And sometimes, you know, you do have to force your hand depending on the scenario. I mean, like I said. I think Eli can do it. He's proven he can do it because he's got 2 Super Bowl rings. So, but you talk about a team, Rob, that's strictly Jekyll and Hyde. That is definitely the Giants, which is kind of interesting. Let's talk about the top five teams. And the top five can be very varied. It doesn't mean that you have a 2-0 record. I'm just going to fire this off real quick because I definitely want to talk about college football. I want to recap your thoughts, especially I want to talk about Johnny Manziel and the Alabama-Texas A&M game. But the top five. You know, like we talked about, as I said earlier, I think Seattle's up there. Could be a 1A, 1B with Seattle and Denver, but I have to put a 2 in there only because of the fact that I think Seattle's played a stronger team up front out of the gate, more or less than the Broncos have. So I'm going to go Seattle. I'm going to go Broncos. As much as I hate to admit it, I'm kind of scared to talk about the Chicago Bears, but I'm going to drop it now. Excuse me. It's going to be Seattle, Denver, San Francisco, then the Bears. I'll drop them down because, you know, right now, even though they had a tough game versus the Vikings, I'm going to go a little later on. I'm actually going to throw in the Texans. So, you know, that can go either or. But what are your thoughts as far as top five right now, Rob?
Not bad. Obviously, you and I agree with 1 and 2. I just have Denver ahead of Seattle, though. I just think Denver is just looking explosive. Blowing people out offensively, they're going to be, you know, tough to stop. Their wide receivers, and they're starting to get a little bit going with the running back position with no Sean Marino. And, of course, Peyton Manning, the best regular season quarterback all time. I definitely like Seattle, number 2, as well. It's something about San Francisco that just gets that team on a high. So I want to see how well they can beat other teams besides it. But something about San Francisco – it just takes Seattle to a whole nother level. But I still got to go back to week 1 where they struggled on the road to beat Carolina. And but they were dominant. And this is a team that's going to be tough to beat in Seattle. But I still have them at number two, but I still have Denver slightly ahead of them. Number three and four and five is where you and I kind of slightly differ. Number three, believe it or not, I have the Kansas City Chiefs. Andy Reid, I think, has really got them playing solid football. Even though they had a tough, you know, win at home against Dallas, this is a team that I like a lot. And number four, I have my New Orleans Saints here. I think you have to be impressed with what Rob Ryan so far is doing with the defense. I know it's only two games, but they're much improved. And I think it's only a matter of time before this offense gets going, too. So I think that's a scary thought for the opposition, for Saints opponents. And then number five, I'm going to go with the Miami Dolphins. I think the Dolphins defensively is playing really well. They're strong against the run. Defensive line playing really well. And I think Ryan Tannehill, you're looking at a quarterback that's maturing right before us. And they have some solid, you know, weapons as well, offensively, and great offensive line as well, one of the most underrated offensive lines in the league. But I think this is a team that definitely gets it done in the trenches. And I think one of the things that's impressive about this Dolphins team is that they won both of their first two games on the road.
Very impressive, sir. I am not going to talk too much junk about that because we're just going to continue to keep moving. It is definitely early in the season. Let's jump into the college world, and let's talk about a couple of different things. First and foremost, we're going to talk about some coaches here that may be fired, and I'm kind of like combining two subjects, Rob. But Mack Brown, right now, you talk about a program, a very, very high-profile program in Texas that is clearly struggling, and for anyone to say that, you know, a school like Texas that gets the cream of the crop of the recruits, it's kind of interesting. And you know, Mack Brown had to fire a couple people, had to fire his defensive coordinator. This is not a good sign, Rob, and I think it's going to come back and haunt him. I don't think he's going to get the opportunity to turn this program around. I think maybe a situation where it's like, hey, you know, we thank you for all that you've done. Maybe send him off into the sunset. So I think, you know, I'm not going to say it's going to happen, you know, the next week or so, but I do think it's probably getting near the end of his tenure at Texas.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a matter of time. I'm not even so sure he's going to be able to get to finish the season if they don't turn this around here in the next couple of weeks. And it's, I mean, there's too much talent in the state of Texas, and there's too much talent on this Texas team right now for them to be playing the way they're playing. I mean, they get destroyed against BYU. I mean, come on. I mean, Texas just has a ton. I mean, the talent levels are just it's a shame for them to get destroyed by BYU. And then to get destroyed at home against Ole Miss, you know, a team I think has got a lot of good young talent on it, Ole Miss. But Texas has a lot of veteran talent on it, so it's really surprising. And I think it's just a matter of time that Mack Brown now, who's going to take over the program? I mentioned last week, I think Kevin Sumlin would be a great hire. But a sleeper, you know, there's a sleeper out there that some people seem to think that Nick Saban will be interested in going to Texas. I don't see it happening, but there's some people who believe that he will, you know, have a lot easier time recruiting in Texas than he would in Alabama. But I just don't see him leaving Alabama this time. I think Kevin Sumlin will be a better fit.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't start that rumor, Rob. Don't get that started. Seriously. Folks can call us, be calling in. Man, we don't want that to happen at all. They're probably, like, knocking right now. But, no. I agree with you as far as that, Texas. Man, just very, very disappointing. I think it's a matter of when as opposed to not if. Another coach, you know him familiar. You're probably familiar with him. And I'm a big fan, Rob. If you're winning, it's like a deodorant. It covers up a lot of things. So, you know, right now, Nebraska's Bo Pelini said a couple of questionable things. And if you're winning, you may let it roll off your back. But the fact is they're not winning, Rob. They got pretty much handled by UCLA. We picked that game for UCLA to come in there and win in Nebraska. And right now, unfortunately, what's going on with Bo Pelini, sir? I don't think he's going to last either. I mean, he's not good enough to hold that position. So what do you think about this?
Well, here's where I may slightly differ with you on this one. I don't think Bo Pelini deserves to be fired. I think this is a guy has been winning at least 10 games every year since he's been in Nebraska. They've gone to 6 straight bowl games. Are they winning a Big Ten title? Are they winning a national championship? No, they're not quite doing that. But I think this is for the most part, he's taking a little heat on about his comments that he's made about Nebraska fans. And, I don't think that's that big of a deal. Coaches do get mad if fans leave early and things of that nature. And so I don't think he's the first coach to make those kind of comments, and he won't be the last. And I don't think he's I don't think he deserves to be fired. Like I said, this is a guy that's been winning at least 10 games every year since he's been in Nebraska in the 6 years there. And, I think he would have to have a couple of bad seasons in a row in order for him to be considered to be fired. So I would say his job is pretty safe right now.
This is my thing, Rob. Certain players that fit, or certain coaches, whatever they fit, what you're looking for. And I just don't think he's a fit, man. I mean, no matter how you try to spin it, certain times, you may be winning. But deep down, certain things that you say, that may be, I think, in a situation, Rob, where, you can't, you're not getting the pass with that. So, you may get mad in the heat of the moment, but you don't say something like that for fans. I mean, it's kind of like, you're kind of like replacing, the Tom Osborne was there, Frank Solage was there before. I just don't know if he fits what they're looking for in Nebraska. So, you may be winning, but, it may be a situation where they're looking kind of for an excuse to get rid of him. But that's just me. We'll see how it plays out. I know you have definitely more of an affinity for him, being from LSU and being all before, but we'll see how that plays out for sure. Last but not least, I do want to talk about Lane Kiffin. And I actually want to talk real briefly about the game between Alabama and Texas A&M real quick. Just a quick thought that I wanted to share with you. Lane Kiffin, I definitely think this guy, unfortunately, the fact that the ban that USC got, definitely not helping him, but he's not helping himself either. Clearly the guy, you would think he could still get some talent and say, hey, guys, just kind of stick out, stick it in, go from there. But I don't know if he's going to last the year either, Rob. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I would have to agree with you here. Definitely, this is USC, Southern California, another team that's able to pretty much get any player they want in the Southern Cal area. And they're just not getting it done. And last week I mentioned that Jack Del Rio would be a heck of a hire. Be kind of similar to a Pete Carroll kind of guy running the program. I think he would be a perfect fit. I definitely think Lane Kiffin is on his way out of USC.
Yeah, about 3 minutes left in the OC portion. I just wanted to comment real quick on Texas A&M and Alabama. Fantastic game. The thing I wanted to comment on, Rob, is that, I know that Mansell gets a like, you have this love-hate relationship with the media. But I just want to comment because that was a very exciting game. And one thing about Johnny Mansell that I do have to point out, and I'm not sure if he's going to make it in the NFL just yet, but if you watch the game, Rob, Johnny Mansell, he's not like a traditional quarterback. He doesn't drop back, throw the ball like the Tom Brady's or the Peyton Manning's and just kind of almost sit back there and just kind of throw the ball and all this rhythm timing. He actually seems like he thrives in chaos. And it's kind of followed me here because he's dropping back. He's making things happen. And it's for a team like Alabama, that just drives them probably up the wall. They're used to, hey, this guy's going to drop back. I know he's going to, like, I can fire off my block. I can get my guy. But you got a guy that, this man's so like, he kind of drops back. Oh, you think he's going to throw the ball. He's not there. It's a very unorthodox style, and I'm sure at the end of the day, Alabama was able to pull that game out. But I'm sure once Mansell matures, I'm just curious to see how he's going to involve his skill set because he's a talented cat, talented dude, even though right now he needs to kind of like hone in. So I just wanted to kind of make that quick comment. We got about a minute left. I talked too much, sir. So kind of give your thoughts, and we got to get set up for the other part of the next week.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that was definitely a heck of a football game. I think A.J. McCarron and Johnny Manziel are both in the Heisman conversation here, even though I like Teddy Bridgewater still to be slightly ahead of them both far this year. But they both, Manziel and McCarron, are still on the hunt. But once again, I want to thank you all for tuning into the show. Join us next Tuesday night, 11 Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. It'll be all about football again. so you don't want to miss it. We got the NBA preseason starting here October 1st, too, so we might start getting to a little bit of that here soon. But it'll still be heavy football here for the most part here in the next few weeks, so you don't want to miss next week's show. Good night, people.
Good night. Thank you, everyone, for listening in, and we'll talk to you guys next week. See you later.